The views and opinions discussed on this show are of the guests and host. They do not reflect the views or opinions of associated sponsors or affiliates. Howling at the moon, a sudden urge to eat your cat, or an intense desire to mark your territory are common side effects of listening to and or being bitten by this show. Enjoy at your own risk.
Welcome back to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Before we dig in with tonight's guest, you do not have to struggle with your audio. That's right, man. I am here to tell you that there is an amazing product. Something that's going to really help you, well, be a way better podcaster than you probably are. Look. I'm just going to deflate my own ego here. I'm a really nice guy. I'm kind of handsome. But you know what I suck at? Editing audio. I'm terrible at it, okay? I admit it. I'm not very good. So what do I do? I reach out for help. And there is an amazing software called Acusonus that are our sponsor. They're going to help you sound a million times better than you truly are. Come on, admit it. Everyone needs a little help sometimes. I am not going to summon a shaman to come help me fix my audio. I'm going to use the one knob approach. What does that mean? This is literally software that plugs into GarageBand or Audacity, and you just turn the knob to fix things like gain, voice leveling, noise removal. Like, I always make fun of the fact that sometimes there's a hum and a hiss back there, and it does happen. So what do? Well, it's quite simple. You press a button, you turn the knob, and all of a sudden you sound way better than what you did only seconds before. Sound too good to be true? It gets even better. Here it comes. What if I told you this isn't something you buy online and arrives in an Amazon box? This is just software. So it takes up no room other than a little bit of memory on your computer. Anyway, guys, check out Acusonus. They're down in the show notes. I would really, really appreciate if you visit that website and tell them John sent you. Who knows? Maybe you'll get a little sulking, little discount this morning. That'd be pretty awesome, hey? Today's guest is, well, a little bit different. And to be quite honest with you, I love having people on the podcast with different points of views and whatnot. We all know I'm a pretty hardcore Christian, but the reality of it is, well, in my religion, Jesus heals with his hands. I can't really do much healing, apparently. So this is why I'm bringing on this guy. He's pretty awesome. He's got a really, really, really nice website, too. Like, this is something I could tell there was a lot of work put into, and I can just really appreciate. But you can check him out at mainshaman.com. And I'm just going to read a little blurb from the top of his website just to give you like a feel for who he is, because it was so welcoming and warm, and I just can't wait to get to know this guy. It says, "Welcome home. Now's your time to regain your sense of wholeness. Shamanic healing is coming home, and it's your birthright. Shamanism is as old as humankind and a powerful method of healing, gathering useful information, and getting in touch with who you truly are. Now, while tonight's guest helps clients with all manner of concerns, he's particularly interested in helping clients with trauma, and we all know that I am a foster parent to medically fragile and vulnerable children, so I couldn't wait to talk to this guy because my life is the end result of their trauma. I enjoy helping clients realize and step into their spiritual gifts, and he's here to help you to live a life, a more satisfying life. He is a shamanic healer and teacher. He's John Moore. Thank you, John, for coming on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. How are you too?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I just was so excited.
I am fantastic.
Glad you're doing okay. How's the weather out your way today?
It's nice. It's a little chilly here for summertime. It's about 53 degrees Fahrenheit, and weird for end of July, beginning of August weather, but we're hanging in.
There you go. And like, Newfoundland's hilarious because it's like we're all going to freeze to death. And if we're not going to freeze to death, we're all going to sweat to death. There's no happy medium.
Right.
Let's talk a little tiny bit about who you are, where you're from, and why you do what you do. Because let's be honest, I don't know too many shamans. Well, I might know a couple because I've been doing this podcast for like 7 years. But the reality of it is, it's not exactly a common thing where I'm from. So let's talk a little tiny bit about where you're from and why you do what you do.
Yeah, so I'm from the great state of Maine in the northeast of the United States. I grew up here. I moved down to the big city of Boston for about 20 years and spent a lot of time, interestingly enough, working in technology astrology. I know you mentioned my website. I'm a shamanic healer who also happens to be a big nerd and like tinkering in technology and that sort of thing. I worked in tech.
I had to stop you there.
In high tech and finance for about.
I kind of wanted to jump in there and just tell everyone once again, this website is gorgeous. And that's, like, I had to say something because it was beautiful. Great job. Kudos to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So I spent about 20 years working in tech, and I went through a bit of a mental and physical health crisis in my early 40s, and was trying to counter that with everything I could think of, from medicine and therapy and working out and eating right and doing all the things I'm supposed to do. And I was meditating. I meditated my whole life. And I was using meditation to try to get through some things. And I got a very, very clear message. It was audible. I could hear it in a really booming voice from who knows where. And it said, you need to go learn shamanism. And I thought to myself, well, how the heck am I going to do that? I mean, I live in Maine. I don't live in Peru. I've got a family and a job. I can't pack up and go to Siberia or anything like that. So I used the powerful spiritual tool called Google, and I searched for a shamanic teacher, for somebody who could take me on. And I happens to be a very large, surprising to me, a very large shamanic community in Maine. And some of the best teachers in the world are here. And my teacher happens to be one of them, although she's fortunately for her, I guess, retiring from teaching fairly soon. She's, she's in her 70s and has probably had enough of my stuff. And so she's retiring soon, but I've spent many years in training, and I started out just to work on myself and had no want or desire to work with anybody else. And the universe had other plans for me, and I've learned to listen to those messages, because if you don't pay attention, the universe is going to slap you across the face with a giant fish or something. Something's going to happen. And so this is my path. This is what I'm doing.
Oh, we've all had so many fishes. Well, I certainly appreciate you coming on today. Yeah. And one of the things I love to talk to people about is your why. Like, why do you get into this? So it sounds to me like you mentioned yourself, you had your own little health crisis and stuff, but maybe it wasn't so little. Want to talk a little tiny bit about that? What kind of gave you the juice to start this? Because most people have, unfortunately, some kind of traumatic experience or maybe an illness or something that gets them into it. Much like myself, who was an atheist who turned into a ghost hunter, who's now like a devout Christian. It was quite the journey, and it started with a little bit of trauma, which was my father getting sick. Talk to me a little tiny bit about what kind of got you into that space of mind to say, I'm going to give this a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, it's the universe sending me these slaps across the face with a fish. I came from a traumatic past. I talk a lot about my growing up in a household where there was, where there was alcoholism and domestic violence and child abuse and all, you name it. It had, kind of a rough upbringing, and, really that was the crux of, where I came in my early 40s. It was, I had pushed everything down for so long. And so when I started to work on myself, I found that people who had experienced trauma, and that, pretty much everybody has some kind of trauma in their life. It doesn't have to be abuse or war or anything. Like you said, it could be, somebody you care about passing away or getting sick or that sort of thing. And we can sort of get trauma from the people around us, just hearing other people's stories. So people with trauma just sort of started to become attracted to me, not attracted physically, but attracted to me as a healer. And I think there's we call in the shamanic world, a wound resonance. Like I had a certain wounding that I've worked on healing, and people with similar wounds, you know, that old spiritual principle of like attracting like, right? So people can have a feeling that here's somebody who has worked through some trauma and has some expertise in it, and you know, might be helpful to what I'm going through.
I just 100% couldn't wait to get you on this show, because I just, and you know, it's a paranormal podcast, but you know, alternative thought is definitely there. And I just want to let people know that I'm open to all these things. And I love the idea that this is just, to me, another modality of healing, really. I look too at like my own life and how much trauma are involved with the children that I look after who are, you know, in care. These are children who are removed from their homes due to violence, you know, kind of similar to your upbringing, really, who had that trauma there. Like, what would you do to, like, say if I had a child, I wanted to bring them to you who was very, very much suffering from the effects of trauma and stuff like that. What would you do, like, say in a session with them? This is kind of getting into what you actually do in your practice, I guess.
Yeah, you know, every session that I do with every client, if it's a healing session, they're all completely different, and really depend on what the person needs. But the way that shamanism works is that, you know, I would enter an altered state of consciousness. It's sort of meditative, although I'd be drumming or shaking a rattle. And, you know, it would start with what we call a diagnostic journey, which is basically I'm going into trance. I'm talking to my helping spirits. They're going to tell me what kind of work would be most helpful for you in that session. And typically with trauma, that, you know, the shamanic model of trauma, is summed up in this sort of term called soul loss, which, you know, really closely parallels modern psychological thinking to trauma. It's like a piece of you gets broken off and left behind. It's like trauma involves, you know, fright or being in a situation that's so, so horrific or terrible or, something along those lines that, you know, we dissociate to escape that situation. It's more than we can handle psychologically. So we get dissociated. And sometimes that part that gets dissociated gets left behind. And a typical, you know, shamanic treatment or ceremony, however you want to put it, would be something called soul retrieval. And this is common across every shamanic culture in the world throughout time. This is something that cultures around the world do, although they tend to do it in a different way. If you were living in a tribal culture, we would, you know, and you experienced a trauma of some sort, the entire tribe would gather around you and the shaman would perform a ceremony and you would have the support, you know, the full support of the tribe. We in the modern days in the West don't tend to live in those types of cultures. And so we don't have that experience of having that tribe gather around us. But it really does speak to the need for a support system beyond, you know, beyond spiritual healing, beyond therapy, beyond all these things. It speaks to having a support system. And I want to say personally to you, thank you for the work you're doing as a foster parent, because you are honestly healing the world.
Well, thank you very much.
The work that you're doing. I mean, I can't think of a more loving and beautiful thing that somebody could be doing than helping out children in that way.
You know, the interesting thing about my job is that it's
so
probably
you're,
one
you're
job
doing,
on the
you're
planet.
Doing great work. So thank you.
Thank you. One of the coolest things about my job is there's many days where it doesn't feel like a job. And that's something I've always wanted in my life. So there you go.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's the same for me. I mean, very frequently, this doesn't feel like a job. I love getting to work with clients. You know, and I work, you know, sometimes I work with people who are in significant pain and helping them to relieve that, or helping people to live a fuller life, or, you know, those kinds of things. I live for that, and it doesn't feel like a job.
I think
I get to do what I love.
So, John, tell me a little tiny bit about what it's like to, you know, be in these sessions with people. Like, I'll use myself as an example. Let's say that I'm after experiencing a really tough week at work, so to speak. I'm full of trauma because guess what? I just had a kid who bit me, punched me, spit my face, did it all. Really, really just kind of broke a piece of my soul, so to speak, as you mentioned. And You know, I kind of want to get that piece back. So what would be one of the first things you would do in there? Because I know you kind of mentioned that you know, you would have a rattle or something in your hand. So I'm really curious. Like, this is kind of cool. I've never really experienced it before. So tell me what it would be like.
Yeah, from your perspective, you know, what you would see is you would see me. I mean, I work a lot with a drum because I love to drum. And I use the drum to drive a specific, specific state of mind, a specific brainwave state. Now, interestingly, you know, shamans throughout history have used rhythms, this specific rhythms, to drive trance, right? And it wasn't until the modern ages that we could hook people up to machines and figure out that they were all generating the same wavelengths in their brain, this theta brainwave state, which really makes you open, makes you, you know, psychically open, able to perceive things that you normally wouldn't perceive. And it's this really cool state that's very close to deep sleep. But I'm awake during that and conscious. And so you would see me close my eyes and drum, and you would probably have some sensations as this was going on. Most people who are having soul retrieval feel sort of either pumped up, or they can get a little dissociated. It can be a little disorienting when it happens. And then I would work with you to make sure that you're fully grounded after the session. So from your perspective, not a lot would happen sort of visually. You would hear me drumming and I would talk to you about what would happen. And then usually there's some homework with soul retrieval. There's, you know, some sort of integration work that that gets communicated to me that I would pass on to you. And it might be something simple like, you know, read some passages from a book or do something. And that is to make the part that was separated from you, feel welcome, feel integrated. It's like a little you that's coming back. It's like welcoming a child back almost that has been lost. And you want to make that child feel safe so the integration happens. And sometimes it can take a little time. We can take, you know, 5 or 6 weeks for full integration. But yeah, we would talk a lot and figure out what's going on. And then I would journey. And that is the main practice of shamanism is called shamanic journeying.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that journey. Cause I'm thinking about, you know, the van. I don't think you are. I'm thinking that this sounds like it's really tied in deep with different modalities, like from different cultures though. Like this seems like they're all kind of very different, but they're kind of related, like Reiki kind of similar, like, you know, in a way, like, do you think there's all these different modalities around the world? Do you think they all have value, or do you think there's certain ones that are just kind of not really working?
I mean, I don't know enough about the different modalities to say that some do or don't have value. I mean, I know some have value. I think Reiki certainly has value. I know people who do IET, which is integrated energy therapy, and polarity and all kinds of things, and sound healing. And there are lots and lots of healing modalities, and they all of them that I've encountered have some, you know, have some value, and they all work in some way. You know, for example, you know, from my perspective, from my understanding, and I've gone through some Reiki training, you know, there's sort of different layers of the human self. We have a physical body, we have a soul, we have a spirit, we have an energy body, you know, and Reiki, things like Reiki and acupuncture work really well with the energy body. And these things kind of overlap, right? So if you affect the energy body, you can affect the physical body, and the physical body touches the spirit and the soul. And, you know, when you heal one thing, the healing tends to bleed over a little bit. Shamanic healing works on a soul level. So it works with what some people might call the astral body, or, you know, which is a little different than energy healing, although we do some, and there are some techniques in shamanism that deal directly with the energy body, but we tend to be working at a different level. So it's just different. It's a different approach. It's like if you go see your doctor, he might recommend surgery or he might recommend medicine, right? He might, you know, recommend a prescription depending upon what the, you know, what the issue is and what, you know, what your doctor's specialty is.
One of the beautiful things as a practitioner of any kind of energy work, stuff like that, like you're doing, is you get to see the end result. And, you know, I'm sure there's been clients where you've probably worked on them for a very long time to help heal and stuff like that. Can you tell us a story without dropping names, of course, because we don't want to, you know, breach any confidence here. But can you tell us a story about just one of your favorite healings, we'll say, and how it went and how you went about it? Because we always got one or two in our pocket, so to speak, that we think about when we're having a bad day ourselves and realize like how important we are and what we do. So can you tell me a little tiny bit about maybe one of your successes as a healer?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I have a lot of stories that I like to pull on, but a really simple, straightforward one. I had a young man come to me, you know, a few years back, and you know, he described himself as feeling dead inside, right? Like he had a complete lack of emotion. And I'm sort of at the point where I can almost just detect trauma on somebody. And so I asked him if he, you know, I sort of said, well, do you dissociate ever? And he said, no, I don't dissociate. And I said, well, do you ever feel like you're not in your body? Or do you ever feel like the world isn't real when you're walking around? And he said, oh yeah, all the time. And I'm like, okay, well, that's dissociation. You know, that is the definition of dissociation. He just didn't have the words for it. And I worked with him, and it was only one time that I worked with him. When he came in, he had like completely flat emotion, no expression on his face, nothing. And he's like, I just got to try something. I just feel dead inside. And I don't, you know, I that's, I think, worse sometimes than being in pain. Cause you don't know where you are. You're in this sort of psychological limbo and you don't really know what to treat or what to heal or that sort of thing. So I did a bunch of work with him and I did soul retrieval with him. When we were done, he was in tears and he said, I feel joy for the first time that I can remember. It was the very first time he could remember feeling joy in his life. And he was in absolute tears when he left. And I was in tears when he left because that, you know, helping somebody with that experience was just, you know, the beauty of that, the beauty of seeing him in, you know, feeling, experiencing joy for the first time was emotionally overwhelming for me.
I can imagine, especially since, well, I mean, you're in that trance state, really. Like, and I like to think that what you really are there is connected to the person very deeply. It would seem to me that as soon as you see the healing, you kind of get the positive, the endorphin release yourself. Hey.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, one of the things, and I started shamanic practice to work on myself and to heal myself. And journeying is like super deep meditation. I mean, even if you're working on somebody else, you get a healing from that. So yeah, there absolutely is, you know, I don't know the chemical, you know, maybe endorphins or, you know, oxytocin or who knows what being released when you journey, but it feels fantastic. It does feel really good from that perspective. And you do, like, it opens you up emotionally. So if somebody's feeling joy, like, you're going to get that. You're going to get that feeling as well.
Okay. So let's say that, okay, just random question here, because, you know, I've got to ask the dumb ones. Here it comes. So do you do this remotely as well, or is this mostly in person?
So, I do this right now, particularly due to COVID. I do this remotely. I mean, I have in the past, I had an office and I did healing work one-on-one. With shamanic healing, it's absolutely not necessary. There's no, you know, not to get too quantum physics on it, but, you know, time and space are really related to matter. And so when you're in spirit form, time and space, like the kind of break down a little bit. And so distance really doesn't matter. In shamanic healing, you can work on somebody, on Mars if there were somebody on Mars, or work on somebody across, you know, I've worked with people on the West Coast and worked with people in Europe and, you know, all of those things. So thousands of miles away and there's really no difference.
Understood. And, you know, one thing about certain modalities that I've kind of come across is most of them, if not all of them, are a one person at a time type thing. But shamanism is a little different from what I've read and seen online. Some people can have multiple people during a healing, correct?
Yep. Certainly you can do, group work, where you have multiple practitioners working with you at once. I've done, you know, I've done partner work, interesting enough, on horses. I've worked with other practitioners. You know, animal work is not my specialty, but I worked with somebody who specialized in animal healing. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, another sort of interesting story is that animals, you know, as far as I know, don't experience placebo effects. So when you see a really significant change in the behavior of an animal after some work, it kind of drives things home for you.
That's really interesting too.
But yeah, I mean, you can do, certainly I've worked. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me. I was saying, you can definitely work with multiple practitioners, and you know, one practitioner sometimes can work with groups, you know, work with a company or an organization that might be having some trouble. That's something that I've done as well.
What about a podcast? What about a podcast audience? Go get your drum, John. It's time to give everyone a little haw here, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, if I had my drum, I could. I mean, it might be hard. Might be hard to do, you know, soul retrieval. I might ask for a few friends to help if we were doing soul retrieval on an entire audience. But yeah, I mean, we certainly could lead group ceremony, and it's something that shamans around the world are known to do.
I tell you what, if you ever want to record it and send it to me, I will put it on my podcast as a healing thing. I'll put up as bonus content. I would love to do that for you, and to have people as well. Really, it's a commercial for what you do, but I would love to have that just for my audience to experience it, and myself as well. You know, the beautiful thing about being a podcaster is that we are so connected, even through over thousands and thousands of miles, we have an instant connection. So, I love the idea of having that there. That'd be really cool, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It really is.
I think I kind of cut out there for a second. You still there, John?
I'm still here. I lost audio for a couple of seconds there.
Okay.
I was just about to talk about how wonderful technology is that we could connect so easily.
Yeah. Technology also likes to play tricks on us, right? So. Okay. So it seems like meditation is deeply taught.
Absolutely. And.
Seems like meditation is deeply tied into what you do and stuff like that. So I know for a fact that must be exhausting on you. So what are some of your favorite things to do to unwind yourself, John?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely can be exhausting. You know, one of the things that refreshes me the most is spending time in nature. And I happen to live, you know, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And so, you know, walking out into nature is easy as walking into my backyard. And, you know, spending time outdoors is really, really healthy. I mean, there's lots of research that it's really good, but I know that it makes me feel good. And so I like to hike and just spend time outdoors, and I feed the birds and animals, and I have a little altar in my backyard where I leave food and things for the animals to pick up. And, just have a wonderful relationship with nature, and it really is restorative for me.
So I want to come hang out with you in Maine. Like, sounds awesome. I want to be one of your backyard animals. Like, what a
They're
nice,
well fed. They're well fed and very friendly at this point.
What a nice guy. This guy heals people, feeds the animals. I mean, you're like freaking Snow White here. Like, this is a good guy to have on my team, I think. This is a good guy to have on my team. Okay, so I got to ask a couple of questions for all the paranormal investigators out there. Because, we're a paranormal podcast. You know, we've been keeping this mostly, you know, about shamanism. Yeah, but, you know, I got to ask some stuff that kind of relate to what my audience are into, which is paranormal investigation and stuff like that. You know, have you ever been on a paranormal investigation, John, or been involved with anything like that before?
So I have never been on an investigation. I'm thinking about, there's a very active group here in Maine. A lot of work with, I've done sort of what we call house clearing or space clearing work, where we're working with, spirits that maybe, you know, you might describe as a haunting. You know, I got to work on a place that's an inn that was a former brothel, and I've worked in where, you know, war, basically we treat them like clients and help them try to move on to where they're supposed to be.
I think it's really interesting that as you started talking about this outside, There's like this flock of crows that just landed outside my window and are screaming at my window right now. What the hell, man?
Crow.
This is actually incredible because I think I just lost John. This is live, by the way. I'm not editing this out because I think this is wild. As soon as we started talking about crossing spirits over the other side, a bunch of crows just freaking landed outside my window, and now John, I lost his audio. So I'm going to hang up on John and call him back right quick. Like, this is crazy. Like, this is insane. I swear to God that, like, I swear to God, we connected and missed. Can you hear me, John? Yes, I answered you on my phone now. Like, whoa, hang on now. I'm going to patch you in a different way.
Oh, no.
Okay, hopefully you can hear me a little better now. But, yeah, like, as soon as we started talking about crossing spirits over the other side, bam, crows show up. Outside my window screaming, and then we lose connection. So if you want your serendipity, and I kind of feel like maybe the crow is important to shamanism. Is that important? Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it is. And in many cultures, it's interesting because crows are considered psychopomps, which is a Greek word, but it means the sort of conveyor of souls, right? So in a lot of Native American cultures, the crow, you know, if you remember the movie The Crow, is an animal that carries spirits across to the other side. So, yeah, I mean, the crows are very significant. And I work a lot with crows here, and they're always an omen for me when they do interesting things like that.
I thought that was wild. It was like talking about crossing spirit. Like, you're literally talking about spirits leaving and crossing to the other side, and then the vehicle shows up, screams, and then we lose our connection. It's like, if you ever want your serendipity to remember that what you're doing is important and it exists, here it is, right?
Yeah. And spirit has a way of doing that, saying, yep, you're right. Here we go. We're going to punctuate that with a really big message. Yes.
John, do you notice too, like with, you know, throughout your journey yourself, like I call them God winks, but that's because I'm a Christian. Like, God wink is when you're in a situation and you know, like, spirit is tipping its hat to you saying, ha ha, I know you're there. You know, like, a perfect example would be, one day I was out for a walk. And I can remember thinking to myself, oh my God, like, I had this problem going on. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to solve it. And I was like, man, I wish my buddy was here, because, like, he would totally know what to say in this situation, because he's more analytical than me. I'm a type A, if you haven't noticed. And out of nowhere, on a side trail, comes my friend. He just shows up in that exact moment. Like, what is the chance of that happening? Like, I look at that as a God wink, or you know, you're kind of on the right path, so to speak. Have you had a lot of those experiences over your life? I know it's big in shamanism.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the more you open yourself up to spirit, whether that's through Christianity or whatever you practice, the more you pay attention to these things, the more they happen. There's so many indicators. Crows are a big one for me. You know, crows show up in really dramatic ways, like they did today. Crows show up in really dramatic ways for me. Like, you know, sometimes they'll, like, you know, dive bomb the windshield of my car when I need to pay attention to something, or, you know, all kinds of crazy things. Or, you know, I'll be thinking very similar to the story that you described, you know, walking through the woods and, you know, a deer will show up or something along those lines. But yeah, these synchronicities, I really think, are a way of, you know, God sort of lining, or the universe, or, you know, whatever word you want to have for it, like lining things up to let you know. I like the phrase God wink, I'm going to steal that from you. I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's like, yep, this is it. This is the thing, for sure.
And, you know, we're all searching for meaning and stuff like that in our lives. And sometimes just, I think the word is reassuring. People who are into spiritual stuff like we are, like, it's reassuring when you get those God wings, stuff like that. Because let's be honest, they call it faith for a reason. It's not exactly in your face all the time. So it's kind of nice to have that.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the things that I have come to recognize, you know, and especially through living through kind of a dark night of the soul that so many of us have been through, is that you are never alone. You are never, ever alone. And you are surrounded and upheld and nurtured by spirit conscious, you know, constantly. We may not be aware of it. We may not be conscious of it, but there are amazing forces that want you to be happy and healthy and live your best life and live your full potential and all of those things. And they're all, you know, even when it feels like the world is working against you, you know, the amount of support you have and can call on is pretty amazing.
No doubt. You know, we get in those situations too, where there are people out there right now who are just, this whole COVID thing has really, really devastated them. And I'd like to know how this COVID thing has changed how you do what you do. Pretty much every modality around the world, people have had to adapt somehow or have just gotten so freaking busy. They don't know what to do with their time. Like I can't imagine how much, like people are just, it's a really hard time for humanity, I believe. And I can't imagine how much more busy you must be because of it.
Yeah, I mean so it's changed the way I work in that I'm currently only seeing people remotely. You know, I don't see people in the office anymore. The building I had an office in closed for most of COVID, and it didn't make sense for me to pay rent on a space I couldn't use. And and as well as just the safety factor of seeing people face to face. So I do see people remotely, and the other aspect, just as you mentioned, is that I've become incredibly busy, both with people wanting healing, and I do teach as well. And I have a lot of people, I did an online class recently, which is a first for me. I've always taught in person. So that was kind of an interesting thing, learning how to teach over Zoom, 20 people from all over, that sort of thing. So it's changed my practice in that way. And also, I'm just seeing a lot of people just struggling with the stress we're going through. You know, really, this is a crisis, from a global psychological perspective, right? People, even if you aren't, and I can't imagine anybody isn't personally affected by COVID. Somebody I know people who have died, and I've known people who've been very sick. Even if you don't, you're in the atmosphere of people who are suffering. You're in this, this global, we're all one spirit, and we're all feeling that and being affected by that. So people are coming with a tremendous amount of stress. Old traumas are acting up and being revivified from all of this stuff that's going on. And also people tend to feel isolated. I'm a bit of a hermit. I live out in the middle of nowhere, hang out with my family. I do have a lot of close friends, but I value my alone time. But still, when we were on lockdown and that sort of thing, that's hard. Like that's hard for human beings. We're tribal. We grew up in cultures we depend upon for our survival. And so, this has been a really hard thing for people. We'll come through it. We will come through it. We'll be changed forever by it. And I hope in positive ways. And I hope, with all the divisiveness and everything we're seeing, I hope we recognize that that's not helpful, and that really, no matter who we are, we're one people, we're one, global community, and we do better when we work together.
No doubt. One of the things, it's interesting you should say that, because here we all are completely self-isolated for some people still. Like I'm very fortunate to be in Newfoundland, Canada, where really this, first rounds of treatment and stuff like that, most of our province now is vaccinated, and a large chunk has been double vaccinated. I'm double vaccinated myself. So, we're at zero cases. We still have, it's great. We still have our restrictions in place, but the reality of it is that we're ready. And I just noticed it was like a reminder from spirit that as powerful as man is and as smart as man is, guess who's really in charge? And
right.
It was funny to see all these billionaires, have absolutely nothing they could do. Absolutely. These more powerful people, so to speak, the rich, the powerful, they were just completely powerless, really.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, there's nothing like spirit, the universe, and Mother Nature laying the smackdown on humanity to let us know that, you know, when we think we're in charge, we really aren't. And you know, hopefully we can come to some level of humility with that, and you know, just recognize that, you know, the damage that we're doing to our environment and all of these things are unsustainable in the long run. And if we want to live, we've got to live in harmony with each other, with the planet, with animals and you know, nature. And, you know, we can, you know, these billionaires can go live on Mars, but that's going to be a long time off before that's going to be a realistic option.
True, true, very true. Although there seems to be a very rather large push for that.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not ready to give up on this planet yet.
Why? You know, it always makes me wonder, why are people so obsessed with getting to the next planet? Like, I'll never really get that drive to explore, but I guess that's just not my personality type anyway. Just not.
Yeah, I'm kind of a homebody myself. If I presented with the opportunity, I might go into space for the experience, but I don't think I'd be interested in colonizing another planet personally.
I just think Walmart is merchant enough for me, and I think I'm good.
It definitely is around here for sure.
Oh my! So, once again, with the whole COVID thing, you know, what do you think the messaging is there? Like, I look at the deep meaning behind things, and I know shamanism is all about that. Like, it's not just that you have trauma. There was a reason why it happened to you, and there's going to be a benefit from it. Like, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end to COVID. Beginning was panic. The middle of it was just, oh my God, we're so sick of it. And now the future is, wow, we better be prepared. You know, with you, how do you kind of see it from the shamanistic point of view? What was the purpose of COVID?
Yeah. You know, I think if I were to, you know, break it down in shamanistic terms and things that I have experienced, you know, through my lens, this is what we would call an initiation, right? And you know, the way that people are initiated into shamanism is frequently not very pleasant. It involves going through some trauma. In some cultures, you have to be struck by lightning to become a shaman. Fortunately, I didn't. You know, fortunately, that wasn't part of my training. My teacher didn't tell me to go stand out on a mountaintop with an umbrella. You know, so you know, you have to go through these things. And what happens is it shakes things up. And I describe initiation, you know, those snow globes that you can get, right? That you shake up, like when you're on vacation and stuff, they're these little plastic globes.
Oh God,
full of snow, cityscape or summer. Well, initiation is like putting your life into one of those snow globes and then bringing it to a hardware store and putting it in one of those paint shaking machines. It just shakes everything. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that it's brought so much pain and so much suffering and you know, all of those things, but it's really going to force a lot of changes. And so we're seeing, you know, global changes in conversations, you know, everything from, and I don't want to talk about politics, but political shifts to human rights shifts to, you know, talks about poverty and wealth and all of those things. And it's bringing stuff. So we all have this shadow, which is the parts of ourselves that we don't like to look at, right? And there's a global shadow. There's all of these parts that we don't like to look at, you know, parts like poverty and hunger and those kinds of things, because they're painful. It's painful that we live in a world where these things exist. And COVID is making us confront a lot of that stuff. COVID is making us see where, you know, gosh, there are places where they can't get, you know, they can't get medical help, or they can't get the vaccine, or they can't get these things. And, you know, they're human beings like we are, and they suffer like we are. And so I hope that coming out of this, it shifts some, and I see it already. I see it shifting a lot of dialogue in the United States, you know, for whatever reason. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, things like wages and poverty and that sort of thing coming out of COVID, because a lot of people lost their jobs and couldn't afford to go back to work. And a lot of companies have closed and now they're having trouble hiring people back. And so there's these big shifts in the way that we treat other people. And I think that's, if there's a positive that comes out of COVID, that's going to be it. The way we're going to look at the way that we treat the planet and the way that we treat other people, and it's really going to change our perspective on things.
With me, it was always kind of weird because I looked at Steph and I was like, who's my wife, by the way? I was like, you know, we've been in self-isolation for 6 weeks. She's like, yeah. I'm like, I don't feel any different. Like, this is pretty much our life. Like, I think the lesson here is that we need to get out more. And she was just like, yeah, probably. You definitely. Like, I work from home. I'm home all the time. She's like, you are like a house cat. You are the COVID house cat. You need to get out now and, like, go meet people. Like, John, John, you're 37. You have no friends. Go make some. All my friends are online, damn it.
I hear you. Yeah. I mean, you know, definitely. I'm a social person, and, you know, get-togethers with my friends have been cut off, and I do miss that. But in a way, I'm also a homebody, and I'm sort of like, you know, isolation's no big deal for me. I just continue working the way I've been working.
It's like, I felt kind of bad because I didn't feel disrupted at all. It was scary though. Like, there was a space there about 6 months where we never had a placement. Like, I never had a foster child in my home, so that means no income for me. So it was kind of like, whoa. Kind of afraid here. Like, this is terrible. Like, my job's a little different. It's not like your traditional foster parent job. Like, you know, it's because you're looking after children who are very high needs and stuff like that. It's a little bit more complicated than that. And, you know, it's pretty much your income as well. So there was that scary moment of, oh my God, I couldn't get a job even if I tried. Like, you can't. Right. Everything is closed. Nobody's hiring. It was absolutely terrifying. But here we are. We all lived through it. Like, I never thought in a million years that I'd ever get a letter from my bank saying, John, we're going to give you 6 months grace without having to pay your mortgage due to COVID-19. Like, this is, we just looked at it and said, is this real?
Hey, is this legit? Yeah.
Like, do people actually care this much about us? Like, I never thought that any of these big institutions cared at all until those kind of things happened. I was like, wow, maybe we got to stop this, like, self-righteous hate of big corporations and stuff like that, because the reality of it is they're just people trying to do their thing as well. And I think it's almost trendy to hate these, you know, big conglomerates. Like, it's trendy to hate Walmart because guess what? Walmart's a big monster that's always going to be there. But reality of it is without Walmart, people would have died from COVID. Like, there was no supply chain to small businesses, really. So thank you to all the supermarket staff. Thank you to all the Walmart staff. These are like your first line people who literally kept things running when our governments and armies were powerless. Starting to think this is Spirit's way of telling us to hurry up.
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely I frequently when things are happening, I frequently experience difficulties. It seems to be, I don't know if that's your experience in the paranormal world, but
absolutely.
Definitely when Spirit gets involved, electronics can act up.
For sure. Oh, definitely.
In my radio car I was driving one time when I was doing a retreat, the radio started tuning itself, and it was a manual radio. It was a manual, it was an old car, a manual tuner. It started changing itself, and then the transmission blew. Like, the transmission went out, and it was only a couple of years old. So I had to come to an agreement with Spirit, like, not to do permanent damage to my stuff.
Right. And there's the other part of it, too, where I'm like, man, I can't wait to have John on. Oh, God, everything's going to light on fire.
I apologize for that. My ex-wife used to say, you know, when I was still married to her when I was going through training, she would tell my kids, oh, my God, every time your dad comes home from a retreat, he brings somebody back with him, because she would wake up in the middle of the night with somebody standing at the foot of our bed checking us out. And I do feel for her to have to experience that and not really having the training to deal with that as well.
It's like, yeah, we had to get a divorce because I was sick of watching ancestors watching us.
Right. I'm tired of these people watching me sleeping, so you got to move out. Yeah, that
it's
was kind of
creepy.
You know, that
me
was
out. Right. John, it's not you; it's your baggage of ancestors. Like,
yeah,
Okay, I got to ask some really fun paranormal questions to end this thing because, you know, very often we get in these conversations about what me and you are both passionate about and we forget that it's a paranormal podcast. And I totally did that today. So, okay, so here's some I call them the rinky-dinky paranormal questions just to kind of give the fan service out there to people like me who love to answer this. Okay. So this we're going to play a little game now. It's always fun to do this with my guests. Okay, it's the yes, I believe, or no, I do not. And I love this because there's so many things in the paranormal. Okay, so are we ready? Okay.
Yep, ready.
Do you believe in psychic mediumship?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you believe in the Loch Ness Monster?
Unsure.
Yeah, I'm unsure as well. Sure. Only because I think it's alive and it's in there, but it's not what everyone thinks it is.
Yeah, I just don't have enough information to know. Yeah. So,
what about Bigfoot? What do you think?
Yes, but I don't think it's what people think it is.
Did you ever see a bear walk on its hind legs?
Yeah, I think a lot of Bigfoot sightings are bears or people.
Like I seen a bear walk on its hind legs for like 2 minutes straight, and it is absolutely, it's unsettling for starters because I've never seen a bear do that before. But as soon as you see it, you'll be like, oh my God, this is Bigfoot. Like, it's terrifying. And it looks so otherworldly. It really does. okay.
Yeah. First.
Do you believe in the big grand conspiracy of the Illuminati? These people behind the strings pulling, people behind the scenes pulling all these strings and stuff like that. Like, one of the things we heard about before was, just behind the whole banking system and all this. Like, do you believe that there's an Illuminati, a shadow, poor people, so to speak, running things behind the scenes?
No, I don't think there's one organization. I think there's a lot of shady stuff going on in banking. I mean, you just got to look at what's going on with Deutsche Bank and, the Russians. And there's lots of shady stuff, but I don't think it's one group of people.
I love it. I almost feel silly asking this question, but I kind of got to. do you believe in reincarnation?
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
I don't think we have much of a choice.
Right. Yeah. I think there's. I don't know, out there. There's plenty of information. There's research where they've done research with children who are doing things that they could not have known other ways. But I've also, in Journey I've done lots of past life work with clients. So that's part of what I do.
I think it's really interesting actually, the past life stuff, because I'm telling you, man, there's been times where I just had these abilities that I shouldn't have. Like, how did I know to do this at this time? And I just feel like there's a part of you that remembers something.
Yeah, I mean, when I was, was in my early 20s, I went to go see these Japanese martial arts masters who'd come in from the Tokyo Budokan to give a demo in Japan. And I was training in jiu-jitsu at the time. And, we got a chance to go train with these martial arts masters that came in. And this guy handed me a kendo sword, and I just picked it up and held it. And the teacher came over and was like, how do you know how to hold that? How do you know? And he was like demanding to know where I had learned how to hold a sword. And I was like, I don't know. This just seems right to me. So, I mean, I have no explanation for that. I mean, apparently my hand placement was something that takes a long time to train normally. And I just did it when I picked up a sword.
It happened to me once in a wrestling match years and years and years ago. Like, we're talking like 20 years ago. I was in a professional wrestling match in front of a big crowd, and I just went somewhere else. I disappeared, and someone else was in the driving seat. And I know, looking back at that match, that's not me wrestling that match. It was somebody else. And I believe there's something to that, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, one last do you believe it or not type question. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready.
Because we got to ask this one because it's paranormal. So, what do you think? Like, are you a believer in ghosts as what everyone else thinks they are? Like, do you believe in these ghost hunting shows and stuff like that? Do you think there's actually something to all this?
Yeah, I do, and I think the world is full of spirits. If you are able to perceive spirit, you would realize that it's actually fairly crowded. There are lots of different kinds of spirits. Some of them are disembodied people. Some of them are people who lived on Earth and passed away. And sometimes people get stuck, and that can be the result of, sort of frequently it's some sort of surprise death happens. Like, it's not, you've been sick for a long time and you pass away, but it could be like, a violent injury, an accident or a murder or even suicide and stuff. And spirits do get stuck here, that's part of the work, we do in shamanism is called psychopomp work, which is to help these spirits who are stuck and not where they're supposed to be to cross over. So, I do think I have encountered many such spirits myself, so I have no choice. I was on the fence about it for most of my life. And then having, many, many, many paranormal, what you might consider paranormal, I now probably consider normal, experiences. I have no choice but to believe at this point.
I know, it was so hard to stay a non-believer. I think it was like when I started hearing my own name and stuff on my recorders when I was investigating that I realized that there's something in, not only is there something to paranormal, like these things are intelligent and they can see us and they can speak to us, man. Like that's for real. And you don't have to be a shaman to talk to them. All you gotta do is run a recorder.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I had an experience ages ago. I was in training with this teacher and we're talking about spirits and stuff. And I was like, oh man, I have all this stuff happening, stuff's disappearing in my house and moving and hear footsteps and whatever. And she said to me, you're probably imagining most of that stuff and somebody else in your house is probably moving stuff around and this and that. I'm like, okay, maybe. And then we were doing some work and I had a rattle with me and it was about 10 feet behind me. And, we're watching the teacher do something and then all of a sudden my rattle on its own just starts shaking, just starts shaking and making noise on its own. And I just look at her and she goes, all right, it's real. What you're going through is real. Okay. All right.
Okay. That is absolutely terrifying. I'm sorry. Someone's got to say this to you. So this thing one thing that I love about that story is that it's doing something that, you've done so many times before, as if to say, I can do it too.
Right. Right. Or to say like to this, teacher who's, telling me that what I'm experiencing is not real is like, by the way, what he's telling you is true, kind of thing. And I don't find it terrifying personally. I mean, I have enough experience, I guess, at this point where it doesn't really scare me. I've had so many experiences of the paranormal that it's become almost my normal at this point. Like I'll have conversations if something happens in the house or whatever, I don't necessarily know who it is at that point, unless I do a journey or something, but I'll just start talking to them like, all right, I got it. You're here. How you doing? Kind of thing. And you treat them like people sometimes. And, sometimes they'll leave you alone or sometimes they'll answer or, whatever. And they have different personalities and wants and needs just because frequently they're people.
Well, let me tell you what, you're one of my favorite people, John. I'd like to say thank you so much for coming on the show and letting everyone know what it was like to experience shamanism. I think it's such a cool thing for people to kind of get into and to learn about because there's so many parallels and so many lessons we can all learn. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for being on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, @ODDTONFLD. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever popular para joke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.